Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone. Today we have information from Maitreya's Mission, Volume 3, written by Benjamin Krem, in question-answer form. He gives us a deeper insight into the work and being a Master of Wisdom and their relationship with us. He also discusses the concept of time.
So the first question is, what is the relationship of the Masters to us? And the reply here is, they are our eldest brothers. They have gone ahead of us and have finished the evolutionary journey in which we are still engaged, have taken upon themselves the responsibility of overseeing our evolution. They know the way, the hazards, the possibilities. They know the steps which are the best to take, because there are many blind alleys, many pitfalls on the path, and they teach the correct way. The correct way is the way of selflessness, lack of ego. This is the hard way. It is slow because we are all so egotistical. And the next question is, do any of these masters have names that we'd recognize? One of them, everybody knows, the Master Jesus. Jesus in Palestine was a very advanced disciple, a fourth degree initiate, just short of a master. He took the fourth initiation, the crucifixion, openly on the outer plane. Normally, you are not expected to die on a cross when you take the fourth initiation. He did that to symbolize for us dramatically that great experience of renunciation. He is now a master, having become a master in his immediate next life as Apollonius of Tyana, who opened an ashram in North India where he is buried. From that fact has come the legend that somehow Jesus did not die on the cross, that he was secreted out of Palestine and went to India and is buried there. It was the being who was Jesus, but in his next incarnation as Apollonius. Jesus is now a very advanced master. In the 7th to 8th century, he went to America and taught the Indian populations, then went out into the Pacific and taught the Polynesians. They all have the legend of a white man who came and taught, and the names are all related to the word Jesus. He taught that another great teacher would come from the East who would teach the Indians again. So, of course, when the Spaniards came, Cortes and his men, they were welcomed with open arms by Montezuma and his people, who were slaughtered for their efforts, as we know.
And the next question comes in the way of, you mentioned Jesus. Are there other names that might be familiar? One very well known is the Tibetan master, Jewal Kul. Between 1919 and 1949, he dictated by mental telepathy a series of 19 books through Alice Bailey. Bailey herself wrote 5 additional volumes. These 19 very profound and, to my mind, very practical teachings are the intermediate phase of the teachings given out by the masters for the new age of Aquarius, now beginning. The secret doctrine was the preparatory phase of the teachings given through Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who lived and worked for some years with a group of masters in the Himalayas. One of them was Master Maurya. her own master, and another, the Master Kutahumi, both very advanced masters. These two masters are deeply involved with humanity and with the Master Jesus, will be the inaugurators of a world religion, which eventually will develop a very scientific religion based on the process of initiation, which we have been talking about.
So the next question is, these names you've mentioned of masters are all men. Are there no woman masters? The answer, there are no masters in female bodies at the present time. The masters, in a sense, are neither male nor female. They have brought both of these aspects into total equilibrium. On the soul plane, there is no sex, no male, no or female. There is simply one energy with two poles, one positive, one negative, as in electricity. They are the same energy in polarity. The masters are perfected souls, so they have brought both into equilibrium. But when they take a physical body, which not all do, some two-thirds of the masters today, that is about 40, are in dense physical bodies. They take a male body at this time to anchor powerfully in the world the energy with which they are so strongly endowed, the male or spirit aspect, to relate to the much greater matter aspect as it manifests in the world today. This is to do with the point in evolution reached by this planet. In about 350 to 400 years, this will change, and then masters will come in female bodies until there is a balance between masters and male bodies and masters and female bodies.
It has nothing to do with any kind of bias against women or the female aspect. On the contrary, the masters are the stimulus behind the women's liberation movement. They see it as essential that women take their full place in total equality with men in this new age, the age as it will come to be known of Tara, the mother. The age of Maitreya is the age in which the mother aspect manifests. The female is the mother, the nourishing aspect. It nourishes the child, the family, the civilization. Nations are also male or female, and nations which are female may become the seat of a civilization. And so it is essential that women play their full part with equal status in the life of humanity. In the West, this is becoming very largely a fact, but in large areas in the East, this is sadly very far from being the case. Women are often seen as little more than chattels. A great change has to take place. That is why the women's liberation movement was inspired by the masters.
So how does a master's body compare to our physical bodies? The reply is, he looks the same, better looking, but his body is perfect. It is a body of light, and he can disappear and appear again at will. He can walk through walls and travel instantaneously by thought. Disease-free? Absolutely. They do not die. They do not grow old. A master can be thousands of years old in the same body. People will soon see the Master Jesus, who is in a body over 650 years old. Some are in the bodies in which they became masters. Others are in bodies which are literally thousands of years old. They do not sleep or eat. They live directly off prana, which is energy direct from the sun. They are spotless in their robes or, if they wear Western clothes, very well-cut suits. But they create them by thought.
And the next question, where does humanity fit into the overall scheme of hierarchy? There are three great centres, and I have mentioned two of them. The centre which I call Shambhala, a great etheric centre in the Gobi Desert. That is the centre where the will and the plan of evolution, of the ensouling deity is known. That works out through the agency of the second centre, the spiritual hierarchy of masters and initiates, the centre where the love of God is expressed. The third centre is humanity itself, the centre where the intelligence of God manifests. They are separate today, but through the evolutionary process they will be united, just as the spark of God, the monad in theosophical terminology, reflects itself as the soul, which again reflects itself in the human personality, which are both reunited by the evolutionary process. So in the outer scheme of things, humanity will unite with hierarchy. When humanity is ready, when there are enough disciples in the world creating a link with hierarchy, the centre which we call humanity will be one and the same with the centre where the love of God is expressed, the spiritual hierarchy. that will be united eventually with Shambhala, the centre where the will of God is known. The Masters are aiming to link up with Shambhala as we, whether we know it or not, are aiming to unite with Hierarchy. Eventually, all three will be linked together and the evolutionary process will be complete.
And the next question, do the Masters work independently or as a group? Do they have a leader? How is Hierarchy structured? They share a consciousness. They have no separate consciousness as personalities. They can never say I because they have no sense of I. They are a group with group consciousness. At the head is the Master of all the Masters, whose personal name is Maitreya. He was foretold to come now by the Buddha. 2,500 years ago, Gautama Buddha made a prophecy that at this time would come another great teacher, a Buddha like himself, Maitreya by name, who would inspire humanity to create a new and brilliant golden civilization based on righteousness and truth. There are 60 Masters and 3 Great Lords, as they are called. Maitreya is one of these three. Maitreya holds the office of World Teacher and embodies the energy we call the Christ Principle or Consciousness, the second aspect of the Christian Trinity. 2,000 years ago, he overshadowed his disciple Jesus for 3 years, and Jesus became Jesus the Messiah, or translated into the Greek, Jesus the Christ. The Christ himself is Maitreya. His consciousness, from the baptism to the crucifixion, manifested through Jesus and inaugurated the Piscean Age, which is now coming to an end. Maitreya has come back into the world now to carry on what he began through Jesus and will complete in the Age of Aquarius, which is now beginning.
And the next question. You mentioned Maitreya and Jesus. What is their relationship with the other teachers throughout history, like Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad? Jesus taught through Muhammad, as Maitreya had taught through him, so he taught through Muhammad. The Buddha taught through the Prince Gautama and Mithra, and Maitreya also taught through Krishna and Shankaracharya at previous times. Now, regarding the Christ, how would you compare the Christ as he actually functions with Orthodox religious views? And the answer: the Orthodox view is that he is the one and only Son of God. Actually, there is no such person. There never has been and never will be such a person. Every single man, woman, and child in the world is a son or daughter of God. Every one of us has in potential that divinity. There is only one divinity and we all share it. The only difference between the Christ and ourselves, the Buddha or Krishna and ourselves, is that they have manifested their divinity. They know that they are sons of God, and they demonstrate it. We do not know that we are sons of God. We are taught otherwise by the churches. We are taught that we are born in sin, and only through the agency of Jesus can we know God.
In fact, God can be known by anyone moment to moment. You do not have to be a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Muslim to know God. You can know God whether you are religious or an atheist, whether you believe in God or not. It has nothing to do with belief, but with direct experience. Because you are God, because you are divine, whatever your belief or non-belief, you can know God as an immediate experience in your life, in the way every child automatically, instinctively does when it comes into the world, without having heard that it is born into a Christian or a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu family. It is not concerned with that, but with its experience. God is not concerned with whether you are a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Christian. These are temporary manifestations in time and place and the accident of birth, where you happen to be born. If you are born in the West, you are more likely to be Christian. If you were born in the East, you are more likely to be Hindu or Buddhist. If you are born in the Middle East, you will probably be Jewish or Muslim. The more fanatical exponents of Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, of Judaism and Buddhism and so forth have made these totally artificial separations in the world. This has hindered the evolution of humanity. It holds us back. It prevents the creation of right human relationships. Right relationships is the next step forward for humanity, so anything that holds it back is not something to be welcomed.
And now on to time, a new age concept of time by the Master through Benjamin Krem. A much-needed change in the life of humanity will come about when the concept of time has undergone a transformation. Today, most people think of time as an ongoing process, linking moments of action, whereas in truth, time is not a process but a state of mind. When we see this, we will transform our lives and enter into an altogether closer understanding of reality. A wonderful new freedom will become man's, and no longer dogged by the limitation of time, he will soar into his birthright.
How is this to be achieved? At present, most of us are confined within the rigid framework of our daily activities. The means of living has to be earned. Decisions have to be taken in relation to others' needs. A constant battle goes on against the clock and the remorseless passage of time. There is little hope within our present modes of living for any fundamental shift in our understanding of time. Now, for the first time in history, the possibility arises for a completely new experience of that phenomenon, and social transformation is the key to this desirable happening. When humanity is one, in fact and in truth, time will disappear. When man approaches life from the inner creative standpoint, time will lose its hold over our minds and thus free us from its tyranny. All of this requires a new assessment of man's place in the universe and the establishment of a truer rapport with the source of our being.
It has become customary to speak of time as a passage of a sequence of events. A new and more correct view of time becomes possible when man takes the steps to align himself with his higher self. This achieved, the way is open for a truer understanding of cyclic activity and non-activity, and thus of time. Such a correct understanding is inherent in a correct relationship to our fellow men. For only when the sense of separateness no longer exists can a true realization of cyclic activity come about. A new world order, political and economic, is the essential prerequisite for this truer vision, for the required sense of oneness can be achieved only when harmony and justice prevail. What this means in practical terms is the creation of structures, political and economic and social, which will bring men together and create the sense of oneness on all planes and in every field. When men see this, they will take the measures to implement the necessary changes and pave the way for the establishment of correct human relations. From that new relationship between men will emerge the conditions on which a new sense of time depends.
From the master's viewpoint, time exists only in the sense of cyclic waves of activity, followed by non-activity, repeated infinitely. He is completely unconditioned by time as sensed in the three worlds of human experience and must make constant adjustments when dealing with his disciples, for instance, in order to accommodate his meaning and intentions to the state of consciousness of those still ensnared by time. Already, signs are appearing that men's minds are beginning to realize the inadequacy of their approach to time, and it will not be long before an intellectual appreciation of this fact becomes more general. Inherent in many of the discoveries of present-day science is the assumption that time is dual, and more this will condition men's perception of reality. But only as the result of man's direct awareness of himself as part of an integral whole will a true realization of time be his. When man creates around himself the forms and structures based on unity and brotherhood, essential for that integration to take place, he will stand on the threshold of an entirely new experience of reality, from which will flow a steady stream of creativity unlike aught seen before in this world.
And that's all we have time for today. And if you'd like further information, you can contact us at PO Box 34491 in Birkenhead, or even better, go online at share-international.org. Thank you very much for listening. Love and blessings to you all.